My name is Tom Helmich. I'm a member here of the church and a student at Wartburg Theological Seminary, where Pastor Joe and Jess and Pastor Don went to seminary. And which is kind of neat, because if you ever get a chance to be in Dubuque, Iowa, go look, because their student photos from when they graduated are on the walls in one of the hallways there, which is kind of neat to see how clothing styles and hairstyles and all that changes. So it's fun. I took pictures, but I don't want to do that to them, so I'd not put them on a PowerPoint. Thank you for being here this morning. First, I want to start by saying that I'm new at this and a little nervous, but this is an awesome community, and we're talking about fall and the seasons and being nurtured by the roots. And before getting started, I could feel the nerves shaking a little bit, and Scott Pierce, who came up as a prayer partner, prayed for me and for this message, which is a great encouragement. And I think that's part of the value of being here and being part of this body. So this season is on fall. I'm glad I didn't get summer, because it'd be really awkward going through the love poem of Solomon. And if anybody read ahead from where Joe stopped, I know why he stopped there, because it gets racier. Whew. No farm animals, but it gets racy. So fall, you have to put your imagination cap on a little bit, because we're just now coming into spring and we're talking about fall. Well, in thinking about fall, you know, what do we see in the images of fall? You know, and the kids are great about this, you know, but the first thing that I think of are the leaves changing color and how beautiful the leaves are. But the leaves are changing colors because they're beginning to fall off the tree. And it's happening because of the environment. You know, it's getting ready to get cold. The days are getting shorter. The temperature's dropping. The trees know that it's coming to a point where the environment's not going to be great for sustaining the tree. And when that happens, the tree survives through the winter because of the roots. That's what sustains the tree through the rest of the winter. And that's a normal part of God's creation, this season. So we'll start off, if you have your Bible or your smartphone, either one, where I know Joe's a big fan of the Bible. Phone is fine too. So first, we're going to start with Ecclesiastes. So Ecclesiastes 3. Now, bonus points for anybody who remembers, you're probably older than 30, if you remember some places you may have heard this other than in the Bible. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. So a time to break down and a time to build up is something I highlighted in preparing for this, because it reminds me that there are times that we need to build up. We need to, you know, we need rest. You know, the trees get their rest from bearing fruit all through the year, which is taxing on the tree and being sustained through the roots. And I think that's something that Jesus knew during his ministry, and he gave appropriate instructions to his disciples and apostles based on that. Rest comes up a lot in the Bible. You know, Jesus, there are many, and I started to go through and write down all the places where this happened. I realized, okay, this isn't, you know, a paper for school, for seminary. It's not being graded by one of the professors there. So, but if you look, it's in a lot of places. And the next slide has one of them here in John. So, anybody here have kids that are in the confirmation program right now? They're getting ready to be confirmed, right? So Joe is encouraging them to try to memorize all the books of the Bible, because he said it's easier to find stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you got the index at the front. Let me tell you, when you're standing up here looking at all of y'all, I'm thinking, okay, that's going to be kind of important if you're up here, but in seminary, they're not making me do it. But John chapter 15, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then John. It's the one that's completely different in the Gospels. 15, verses 4 and 5. Jesus said, "Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches." And then again in Mark, and I apologize to other Mark because I'm moving these a little quicker. Mark chapter 6. Verse 30, as the apostles gathered around Jesus, and told him all that they had done and taught, he said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So Jesus here is addressing two different needs. One is that spiritual foundation in Jesus that we need to bear spiritual fruit. Right? Is any gardeners in here? A little bit. Well, I know the Gleasons do. You can't. Yeah, you better raise your hand, Philip. I've been to their house. I got some cool stuff. My poor wife. She's right here. I'm more nervous in front of her than anybody else. What's up with that? So she tolerates a lot of stuff for me. One of them has been a pretty significantly sized garden, and I tried grapes, and grapes are great if you don't mind it getting taken over because, man, they can spread. And there's the vine, and the branches grow off the vine, and the grapes grow from the branch, which is what Jesus is talking about here. If you cut the branch off, it's not going to grow any fruit. So we need, physically us, we need this foundation of the physical rest, him telling his apostles to go away to a place where they can rest and eat. And he's telling them that, you know, they have to abide in him to bear fruit. And that's part of the reason we come here today to the church. You know, the children come up, and we talk about the kids' message and go to Kids City, and we build that foundation and build those strong roots of their faith. But the adults need it too. But coming to church isn't just about feeding us. You know, we come here to worship. We come here to give thanks for our many blessings. And we come here to learn and to be nourished and to build the roots of our faith that can sustain us when the environment isn't real good at allowing us to keep our faith. The rest theme comes up in the Bible a lot. You know, the story of Jesus on the boat in the storm. He's asleep in the back of the boat. He's resting. Other places where he's going through his ministry. And he'll take time to go up on a mountain or away from the sea or different places where he can go rest. And he'll go and pray. And, you know, he's rejuvenating himself. Because even Jesus being, you know, born in a physical body experienced this fatigue. So if it's good for Jesus, it's good for us to sometimes have to come away. Right, and get rest and be fed. And we have to be connected to Jesus, the vine. And I got to confess, this is one of the places where the symbolism in my message is kind of difficult to stretch, so you have to put on your imagination cap and imagine that the vine is like the roots, right? Because it connects the branch to the roots, so you got to kind of, you know, go with me? No, okay. I'm new at this, all right? But that's how we are tied in our faith to God, to the roots, is through Christ who is the vine. Now, the real core part of the message today, though, is about these seasons of love and relationships. And the same holds true. Our body needs rest and strength and that foundation. Our faith needs that foundation and rest and renewal. And our relationships do, too. And luckily, my wife helped me out a whole lot with this because she's kind of my sounding board between her and Joe. And I was struggling with trying to connect this idea of the foundation and roots and faith for the message. And I realized that my wife and I hadn't been on a date night in forever. You know, we were kind of caught up in the fruits of our life, and that can be children, it can be work, it can be school, and it could be, I mean, stuff at church sometimes. And I wasn't doing anything to deliberately invest in that foundation, the roots of our relationship, of our marriage. And so we went on a date night Friday. It'd been really awkward if we hadn't had, you know, hadn't done that and come up here and like, yeah, I'm not even doing this. But we got to go out on a date night. It was freaking awesome. I had a blast. Wasn't anything wild and crazy. I mean, we're in our 40s. I'm in my 40s. I won't, you know. Sorry, love. My bad. I'm in my 40s. You know, it was a wild, crazy, exciting night. We went out to eat. No children. Now, I see two out of three of my children made it here. The third one, he's 19. He's probably still asleep. But we went without kids, and we went out to eat. And we splurged. I wanted fried pickles for an appetizer. She wanted the onion rings. We got both. It was awesome. Ate way too many of the fried pickles, and we put a dent in the onion rings. I think we still have some of them, though. That's, you know, leftovers. But then we ordered the meal, and some friends showed up that we hadn't seen in a long time, and we got to visit with them, and then we finished eating, and we did stuff together. So I've been playing on Duolingo because I'm trying to learn Spanish. And so my wife's always hearing the ding, ding, ding from the stuff from the little, sounds like a little game. It's addictive. It's great. It's fun. And I'm learning something. And so my wife has started. I'm encouraging her because it's a little competition, right? I mean, not that I want to be better at her than Spanish, but, well, I don't know. She's smarter than I am, so we'll see what happens. But so we're setting up her account on Duolingo. I'm trying to figure out how to friend her, but we're doing this together. Because otherwise, we sit at home, she's on the couch, and I'm in my recliner, and I'm doing something on Facebook or Duolingo, and she's doing something else, and we're 3 feet away from each other, but not necessarily interacting. Because I've got reading to do and homework, and the kids come in and we're tired. But I had a sermon to prepare for, which is nerve-wracking. You got to try it. I got papers to write and reading to do, but we just put it aside, and we went out. Normally, on any given night, by 8 o'clock, we're in bed asleep, right? We stayed out till, was it almost 9? I'm like, whoo, getting crazy. It was almost 9 o'clock. I mean, it was probably 10 o'clock before we got into bed. And I slept until almost 10 o'clock the next morning. I mean, that's almost 12 hours. Let me tell you, I'll try it. And that's, talk about rejuvenating. I got a good rest. But our, you know, our kids are teenagers, and Curran, my oldest, is 19. And when I retire from my current job, before I come into the second one, I'll be he'll be the age I was when he was born. And Connor, raise your hand, Connor. That's the baby of the family. He'll be 14 in May. When I retire, he'll be 20 years old. Now, they're probably going to be out doing their own thing. Maybe we'll start having grandkids around that time, not in a hurry, but I can't wait to weaponize them against my children because, I mean, a very Christian thing to do, but I'm going to do that, right? I mean, it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to that a little too much, probably. Maybe more prayer there, but I am definitely going to weaponize my grandchildren. It's going to be great. But when that happens and our life transitions to all of our kids being out of the house, and we're not focusing on that fruit. There'll be other fruits, but we're going to have something that's going to sustain us in our relationship, in our marriage. We're going to have to work on that now, though. You know, I mean, if you've got an apple tree and with no real root system and you wait until the fall to grow the roots, it's not going to make it through the fall and through the winter. You have to grow that all the time. You know, we come to church every Sunday, hint, hint, right? Don't want to make anybody feel guilty, but if I do, But she come here every Sunday. We get fed by the word. We sing together. We worship. We praise together. We celebrate these gifts. We celebrate the gifts of the altar through communion every week. We do it all the time. We need to do the same thing with our relationships. I'm not good at that because I'm great about distractions, right? I need my wife is my taproot that kind of holds me still. And she's been very patient with me because, you know, I'm a little kind of squirrel all the time, right? I mean, I came home one day and sitting on the front porch, you know, it was spring, it wasn't fall, but it was February. And I'm sitting there like, so I'm gonna learn how to play the Great Highland Bagpipes. And she's like, all right. And then a few years later, maybe a year later, went to Synod Assembly with the church, that's another funny story. She'd been praying for me to get more involved. Then I wound up busy at the church. Then I wound up on the core team. And then I went to Synod Assembly. And then I came back and we're sitting on the front porch. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to enroll in seminary. And she's just like, all right. And one thing after another. And she has kind of helped keep me grounded. Otherwise, I would wear myself out. But it had not been at all in 2020 that we had gone out to invest in each other and in our own relationship absent from the children. So, show of hands if you've been on a date night this year. Oh, Amy, you got to raise your hand because you went with me. There you go. Yeah. I mean, I think you went with me. You were there. Awesome. Now, one more time, if you've been on a date night, raise your hand. Now, look around at everybody else who hadn't. All right. So, for those of us who have raised our hands and those of you who haven't, there's a responsibility to each other as being part of this gathered body. Raise your hand if you've ever been to a wedding. All right? Raise your hand if you've ever been to a baptism. All right? For the lifelong Lutherans, raise your hand if you've ever been to a confirmation. In all three of those, there's a part of the liturgy, a part of the schedule where we ask the congregation to promise to pray for, nurture, guide, encourage the confirmand, the baptized, the newly married couple. We have a responsibility to help each other. So at the beginning, when I talked about these teachers, Kid City, and parents being the gardener for the roots of these children, we are all the gardeners of the roots of each other's relationships. We have to nurture each other, pray for each other, encourage each other. So now you know who's not been out on a date night, so you know who to remember, you know, and say, hey, you've been on a date night? You know, kind of encourage them to go do that. It doesn't take anything fancy. It's amazing how fun it can be. We did one, and it was kind of with a group, but so it kind of counts, kind of not. But, and I didn't bring this up in the last service, but with Amy here, it reminds me. We went axe throwing. Let me tell you, if I ever really mess up and make my wife mad, I'm hiding the axes because she's a sharpshooter with those suckers. But anything to go do something, like you're, I mean, like dating, right? We date, and then we get married, and then everything just kind of stops. And I'm bad about this, as far as my wife's not nodding in agreement. But we get tired, and we don't invest anything else in each other. So sometimes you got to put away the fruit and put away the busyness in life just to invest in each other and in yourselves and in your relationship. So when the days grow shorter or colder and the environment changes and isn't very good for the marriage, all the things in society that happen, that you can have something to sustain you. Jesus is a good place to start, and you have to be deliberate about it. Jesus sustains us spiritually. He can sustain us physically, and he can sustain our relationships. But you have to follow his model of going away to a deserted place, going away by yourselves to pray, going away to invest in your roots and staying attached and holding tight to that. So I'll bring it up with Joe to ask maybe in a week or two and see how many people have made it out on a date night. Feel free to hold us accountable, making sure we still do it and keep investing in those roots. And keep in mind that when you've been to those weddings, people that aren't here, you've been to weddings here, you've been to baptisms here, to confirmations here. We're going to have a confirmation coming up in a few months that you're making that promise to encourage, to nurture, to pray for that confirmand, that wedding, that baptism. That's a responsibility of this whole gathered body to do that. But we also have to take responsibility for it for ourselves. So I'm looking forward to the next date night with my wife. I don't know what we'll do. But I bet it'll be fun, especially if it involves fried pickles. So, all right. If you would pray with me and then find a way to arrange that date night with either your spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, best friends. It doesn't have to be a marriage, but invest in those roots of that relationship. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathered body. We thank you for this system of roots to nourish us when the environment grows cold. Lord, we pray that you'll remind us, as Jesus taught, that sometimes we need rest. Sometimes we need to step away from the busyness of life and from the fruit, and we need to invest in our own roots. Lord, I pray that through this church and outside this church, and through the Bible and the various things that we do, that we hold true and hold tight to the vine that is Christ Jesus. Lord, pray that we all remember the promises we have made, whether it be baptisms and marriages and confirmations, that we remember those and that we act on those and we encourage each other. Lord, pray that everyone here feels your presence that guides them. Lord, we pray that everyone here will take steps to strengthen the roots of their relationships. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.